Wednesday on WSGW, the day after you had Governor Whitmer and her briefing yesterday, which we had broadcast on 790 specifically, including our online 790 access. And part of the briefing was what was going to be happening potentially for schools to reopen in the fall. And wow, there's a lot to unpack from the task force. Officially, it shows up, and I'll try and get a link to this on our morning team page from the governor's site. It's like a 63-page report, the way it comes down. If you're going to look it online, because there's lots of,
lots of angles they have to look at.
There are, and you think of the angles that are being talked about here on July 1st, and how things could change depending on what goes on with case reports and such. So what's going to be happening come September 1st, who knows? But at this particular time, schools, depending on where the school is located in the state, dependent on what phase that region is in, mm-hmm. is going to govern on what school protocols are going to be. In fact, if you're in a region with phase 1, 2, or 3, your school buildings can't open.
Right.
It's going to have to be online or some type of remote learning. It's only phases 4, 5, and 6 that will allow the buildings to open. And even then, that's where the nuances start. If you're like in a 6, which is the everything is pretty much okay, then you have less restrictions than, say, like a 4.
Which is where we're at right here, right now.
Which includes the wearing of masks for mm-hmm. everyone and the encouragement of desks being spaced 6 feet apart in classrooms, all arranging facing the same direction toward the front of the classroom, teachers maintaining 6 feet of spacing between themselves and the students as much as possible, visitors, even family members, and I'm just taking some highlights and I'm looking at reports from the governor from some of the news reports that we have that all the other news sources are reporting. Visitors would not be allowed in schools, even family members, except in emergencies as decided by administrators, which you think about that, especially in the younger grades, too. How many times parents are involved with some of the classroom activities and volunteers and such with some of the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
The cleaning requirements. Wow. You talk about adhering to those requirements. Plus, this goes back into the budgets because you have to fund all the supplies and such that are going to be necessary. Frequently touched surfaces like light switches, doors, benches, bathrooms must undergo cleaning at least every 4 hours. And that's with an EPA-approved disinfectant or diluted bleach solution. After every period, you'd have desks being wiped down in classrooms.
A government is going to provide money for those cleaning materials, from what we understand.
That was part of what the task force recommended. This one I thought was interesting. It says for facial coverings, homemade facial coverings must be washed daily, and disposable facial coverings must be disposed of at the end of the day. That I can see happening.
That's going to be costly. Who's going to have to foot that bill? Or
maybe the school, maybe it's part of the government. Here, pick up your face mask at the start of the day.
I don't know.
I can see that happening more than your average teenager washing his facial covering at the end of the day. It's hard enough to get a teenager to wash their face. the transportation talked about the vehicles being cleaned and disinfected before and after every transit route. Requirements when it comes down to playground structures. This is, like I said, there's just a lot of things. And depending on the region, and even I think even some of the higher regions, I think the governor, if not herself encouraging, maybe the task force encouraging, even some of the mask wearing and social distancing that might be less restrictive in some of the other regions still being recommended. That schools should undergo.
Yeah.
And then throwing the athletic possibility into the whole thing. That was a I didn't see that one coming, and I guess if it had been discussed, I just had missed it.
It's going to flip the sports seasons. Pretty much.
Yeah, and I suppose you can make it work. although I'm thinking of my favorite sport, baseball, which generally you're going to start in March and getting into the spring and even early summer seasons in June when tournaments are being played, when days are getting longer and the weather's getting warmer, which is more appropriate for baseball, it's going to be the direct opposite. You'll be starting in September when the days are decently okay, but then you'll be heading into October.
The days are
getting shorter and the weather's getting more cooler.
I heard her say cross-country, golf, tennis, and track, but I didn't hear her mention baseball.
Well, that's a spring sport. It's got to be. That season was gone. Baseball, softball. Okay. You know, all this stuff is I would think. I mean, you can't go over there.
Yeah, but I didn't hear her say that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to assume that.
You're going to...
Because she talked about individual sports.
Yeah.
More individual type.
Right.
Well, you're going to keep baseball all the way until springtime because you have some baseball and football players that play the same sport.
That's true.
How many players would be a problem.
Think about a lot of players, especially at smaller schools. A lot of better athletes usually played multi-sports.
They go from one sport to the other. In fact, sometimes as they're finishing up one sport and the other season's practices are beginning, you know, like some... Where's John? Well, he's still finishing up football. He'll be here.
Waiting for an official ruling from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, which will come the end of this month.
Yeah, she can only suggest.
MHSAA is there to take the ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
But then you think of football, which starts usually in a very hot, those practices in August, at least the weather starts to get cooler in September and October, they'd be direct opposite. Maybe have some decent weather to start their work, and by the time they get to the football finals,
it's warm.
It's going to be warm.
And the golf would like the switch, from what I'm hearing, that they would like to be playing in the fall and when it's warmer, then gradually getting cooler rather than starting out when it's bitter cold and trying to be out on a golf course.
You know, I seem to remember when I was in high school, golf was fall sport. Okay,
it was.
Thank you. All right.
And then it was switched.
Yeah. Well, you might remember that switch has had to happen due to, if not, I think that was part of Title IX.
Yeah, male and female sports.
Yeah, they had to be in the same season.
They moved volleyball, right? Yeah.
Had to be in the same seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Again, that's a whole other aspect. And, you know, boy, how'd you like to be planning all this? Because you have to put into, you know, for us here in our workplace, we've made plans. But when I think about how adjustable we are and could be if suddenly somebody in the building, which we have not had and hopefully won't have, but there are ways that we know we can
broadcast
from home or we can really isolate people.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine making a school plan today based on what you hope happens in the fall. But come the fall, maybe your region switches. Maybe your region suddenly drops to a 1, 2, or 3, and everything you plan to do in the building you can't do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you plan for everything online, and then you get great news that, hey, your buildings can open again. Well, we didn't plan on that.
Yeah, scramble.
Or going back to the athletics, I mean, can you imagine trying to avoid the scheduling nightmares?
Oh, yeah.
Because you have to find out which schools could participate and which schools couldn't. And what happens if you have athletics ready to be performed, and then suddenly your region drops, because in the regions 1, 2, and 3, without school, athletics and everything are extracurricular activities you can't do.
Yeah.
If it's a 1, 2, and 3, if everything's remote or online learning.
By the way, are custodial staffs going to get raises?
Well, wow.
They may need more custodial staff with all that cleaning they've got to do.
Right. That's what I mean. Right. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. You know, and that could be part of it. Again, there's just so much that I was looking at. It's like it became overwhelming, to tell you the truth, trying to get through it all. I said, well, we'll pick and choose, and I'll use different news reports just to get some of the highlights.
Well, you know, it could take solace in the fact that we're not the only state dealing with these issues. And because other states are going to be dealing with them, too.
And my guess is there'll be ways that people come up with things that perhaps haven't even been thought of yet. And they get, this will make things so much easier, better. Or somebody else will try something and realize, this isn't working. Hey, heads up, everybody. Don't do this. Don't do this. I don't know. But the parental perspective of what you know now.
Oh, yeah.
What do you plan to do in the fall? In fact, speaking of that parental perspective, next hour after the 7:30 news, when we advance our online poll, I think we'll have to get into an offering early on of what you're hearing now about the school possibilities of what you might be planning to do. And then maybe we can take a new poll coming up in a couple of months to see if the poll numbers change from what we know today to what we'll know in September.
Yeah, because remember, what happens to schools is going to affect what happens at the parents' jobs. Because if the kids can't go to school, That means parents have to, a lot of them are going to have to start working from home again, probably.
That's another nuance. Exactly right. All the things that are part of the conversation.